com.
Are you getting ready to jump on a plane in the next couple of days, America? I know I am. Leaving 6 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving, heading to Florida, whatever that's going to be like. It's the first flight out, so I have a feeling I have a better chance of not running into any of the kind of incidents that people say they're hitting when they're going through these enhanced pat-downs that have just been described in such brutal fashion. And, you know, not for nothing, it's where there's smoke, there's fire, I believe. And there's definitely some fire going on, whether it's in Atlanta or whether it's in New York or San Francisco or wherever. There have been a lot of problems, a lot of snags over people not wanting to subject themselves to these crazy pat-downs that they've been hearing about. And it's like a little out of control, I'd have to say, definitely, where the frustration level is bubbling over. So will it snap in half in the next couple of days? Wednesday is the big travel day, though. I'm traveling early in the morning, like I said, the day of. That's a little bit different than the day before. The day before is the busiest travel day in the entire calendar year. So you look at the other holidays, you look at the summertime and the traveling and whatever, but no matter where, pick a place, any place, and they say that is the biggest time. And they're not backing down. The TSA isn't John Pistol, the guy who runs it, or is the figurehead anyway. They're not backing down. They get the blessing of the president and other politicians, and then, of course, there are some people that are squealing on Washington, on the Hill, that they don't like it because it's such a layup issue when you have so many people frustrated. To say that you think it's barbaric and unnecessary and whatever is, of course, like I said, just a complete layup to do that. All right, let's jump to a couple of other things. By the way, this is America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. If you can't hit us up on the phone lines at 800-259-5791, you can always catch us at AmericaTonight.net, AmericaTonight.net. We're going to get back to the TSA and some reaction to that in a second here. But before we do that, let's go to Robert Gibbs. Actually, Robert Gibbs talks about the situation in Ireland. We've talked a lot about the monopoly money that we're printing in this country. Yeah, oh, we need some more money. Let's print it up. Just print it. Print it in the basement. Oh, no, that would be counterfeiting. Let's print it at one of our many mints. Print it, and we don't have any idea what's backing it up. Ireland has found themselves, a couple of years ago, it looked like they were turning a big, big, wide corner. Now they've completely imploded and have asked for money, a big loan, help. They need help in a very, very big way. Here's what Robert Gibbs, the White House spokesperson, had to say about that.
Acting quickly to deal with problems in Ireland by the Europeans is good news.
It's good news. Is it really good news? Think of Greece. Now you got Ireland. What domino falls next? Germany on the brink. On the brink. Gibbs also, by the way, decided he would throw in his two cents when he was asked about it, of course, about the TSA. This is what he said.
If somebody feels as if they have been unduly subjected to something that they find to be far more invasive than the line of convenience and security, they should speak to a TSA representative at the airport.
Hey, yeah, I don't like what you're trying to do to me, so I'm speaking to you. Do you speak the same language as I do? Well, Robert Gibbs from the White House said that I should talk to you if I don't like what's going on. You know, give me a break with that. That's not happening. Have you seen how crowded and jammed it is and how people fly through the checkpoints, going through with the TSA? You're not pulling anyone aside. You're lucky if you can get anyone's attention. When everything gets clogged up and you're putting your stuff through, you're lucky if you can get them to stop for 2 seconds. I'm telling you. Randomly, though, here's what some people think of the TSA.
I think I probably walked through the scanner. They were pretty nice about it, but it was pretty invasive. It was all over. It was a little new.
I'll definitely go through the scanner if they ask. If they want to go through the pat-down, I'll go through the pat-down.
Honestly, I don't really mind. I think that it's important that we stay safe when we're flying, and I'd rather go through the extra hassle then wind up having something tragic happen.
I think that everyone needs to be talked to, and whether they're going to do with their little, with their children, they all have to be accounted for.
It's too invasive. It's not necessary.
I heard that last comment. It's too invasive. It's not necessary. I agree with that. It's just not necessary. Because what are we actually, what are we stopping? What are we thwarting? Are we that much safer by what's happening when you go through at the airports? And the answer is no. Nobody can tell you, oh, yes, it's 100% safe. They can't. And you compare it to other countries where the safety record is sky high as far as people getting on planes. Everybody always points to Israel. And there's a reason why it's safe there. Now, in other, besides Israel, there is another country where it is incredible the way that they deal with people who come into the country. So they keep tabs on who's going where. And now I don't know if you're going to be surprised by it, but when you think of all the possibilities out there, coming up, we're going to talk with Jeff Atticott about that very thing. Terror in the skies. What's happening with the pat downs? Is it too excessive or not? Are people just out of their head with saying, exaggerating crazy things that are happening at the gates? And I will say this, I didn't see very much of the airports, but I was on a smaller plane. I did see a guy, though, get patted down, and he looked uncomfortable. And he was definitely enhanced pat down. There was no question about that. But he stuck through it and then went on about his business. There are also people who are screaming things out and who are upset. And over time, I wonder if they're going to tweak that policy. And if I were a betting person, I would say there is a chance that it will be tweaked. I say that there's too much pressure, and I think that they'll succumb to that pressure. By the way, 64% support new scanning machines. 50% say pat downs go too far. I mean, some of them you hear described, it is pretty over the top for sometimes these, whether it's long or whether it's a short haul. I would have to say that the numbers don't surprise me. Because you can see, you know, when somebody's uncomfortable, nervous, whatever, and they have that look in their face, that wild-eyed, I call it the wild-eyed look, where they do not want to go through the shakedown. They don't want to have that happen to them. One, in some cases, for fear that they'll bite back. And two, because they don't know if they're going to be detained, asked a bunch of questions, be humiliated. Everybody keeps using the same word, humiliated. And, you know, I believe that it's what you allow people to do to you. But still, I can see the humiliation thing. I can see why there are people that feel like it's just way too over the top. Now, I got lucky the first time around. We'll see what happens in part two, Thanksgiving holidays, as I go through security both at DFW and then, of course, again in Florida because of the area I'm going. Well, any of the areas they would do that, whether it was Jacksonville or Miami or Tampa, St. Pete, wherever, they're certainly going to do it. But the question is how invasive are the procedures? If you had a good experience with TSA, by the way, feel free to flip me that at americatonight.net. Hang through, everybody.
The winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also, also on super sale. Olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalheater.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Got a light, Jessica?
Nope.
But you're smoking.
I don't need a light. It's a Smoke Genie electronic cigarette.
Really?
You haven't tried them? It's just like the real thing, but better. It's so much cheaper. There's no tar and burning, and you can take just a few puffs and put it right back in your purse. You can even smoke one of these where regular cigarettes are banned.
Seriously? I'm sick of people telling me where I can and can't smoke.
I tell you, it's great. There's a bunch of them out there, but Smoke Genie is way superior in flavor, quality, shipping, and customer service.
I don't know. I've been smoking cigarettes forever. Not sure I could change.
Listen, there's a 30-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose. I wish they had Smoke Genie 10 years ago. I would have saved a ton of money. And my clothes don't smell like smoke anymore.
Really? That's great.
And Smoke Genie even has next day delivery. Go to SmokeGenieCigs.com today and use the code RADIO for 10% off your order.
SmokeGenieCigs.com and code RADIO for 10% off? I'm in.
Guys, now what is it? Pat downs, payouts, and just problems. Greg Stebbin joins us from Men's Health Magazine, where he's, of course, one of the editors. He's going to talk about how to make Thanksgiving travel less awful. Are you kidding me? How can you make it less awful? I can't tell you how many times I've done it, whether it was from California in the red eye to go back east, or whether I got up at the crack of dawn. In fact, this time around, as soon as I get off the air, I'm getting on a plane from DFW going to Tampa, St. Pete, and I'm hoping, because it's the first flight out, I won't have any problems. What do you think my odds are, Greg?
Let me see. I'm checking with my bookie, and no, I think it's going to be pretty awful.
Thank you.
We call it Fly the Awful Sky.
Yeah, no kidding. And what? Why is that? Because there's
so
many people.
We did this story before we knew there was going to be the whole enhanced pat down thing and naked X-rays. We didn't even know that was coming, and we thought it was awful even before that got thrown into the mix.
Yeah, no kidding. Is it? Is it because there's so many travelers too? So it's massive bodies all over the place.
Well, it's a combination of things. So one is you're absolutely right. They've cut back on flights. So, I mean, to be fair to the airlines, of course they want to fill every seat. But it used to be that they never filled every seat. And so you could hope, you could keep your fingers crossed that you might end up with a seat next to you. That doesn't happen anymore. And so that's one way that airlines increase their revenue. Another way they increase their revenue is now they sell you a flight, a ticket on the flight, and then on top of that they sell you a seat. You know, now you want to sit in a window seat? Oh, well, you got to pay an extra 20 for that. You want to sit in the aisle? Well, that's 20. You want to sit in between that awful center seat? Well, then that's what you're going to get if you don't pony. It's kind of a blackmail. But what we realized in talking to some flight experts, there really are some strategies to maximize your opportunity to have a better flight by not being stuck in the center between a person who smells and a person who's bigger than the seed itself, and we want to share that wisdom.
Oh, well, let's hear it. Give us some tips. So, what do we do? What do we do? I want to know. That's happened to me. What do we do?
Well, so the first thing is when you're online and you're booking your seat and you're paying for your actual seat, there's always those seats they call they're the front row seats. They're the express seats or the, you know, they're like the bulkhead or the exit row seats. And you can pay extra for those, and those are good. But the thing people don't realize is often the seats right behind them are also really good, and they don't charge an extra bonus. You only pay for those once instead of paying for those twice. So if you want to save a little money, don't get the exit row or the bulkhead. Get the seat right behind it. And by the way, there's a downside to the bulkhead and the exit row. Well, not the exit row, but the bulkhead. And the bulkhead problem is that if there's going to be a screaming baby on the flight, it's probably going to be sitting in the bulkhead because that's the easiest place to strap in a child seat. So you get lots of leg room, but you want to wrap your legs around your ears so that you don't have to listen to the baby cry.
Yeah, no kidding. So we got the seating thing down, and the noise deal, the best place to sit, you know, not the bulkhead's obviously one of them because you talked about the babies. What
right.
about the middle of the plane? It used to be that for some reason it seemed like I always got stuck in the middle or near the galleys, which was terrible because there was always gossip and things being dropped because that's where the flight attendants were.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So the we talked about the bulkhead. That can be bad because of the whole screaming baby thing. By the way, there's talk. This isn't happening yet, but there's actually talk of having either child-free flights or child-free sections on planes. I'm not anti-child, but I have sat in front of kids that have kicked my seat all the way from, like, Washington, D.C. to, you know, Florida, and that's not a lot of fun. I think if you can put all the kids in the same section of the plane with the parents, they're probably going to entertain each other and everyone's going to be happier, but that's for another time. But the bulkhead's a place to avoid if you don't want to be around kids because they often get infants get put there in their child seats. And as you said, the galleys are also very loud because it's where the flight attendants are. They're talking, they're making food, they're popping open sodas, they're clanging things. It turns out that if you can get an aisle or a window seat in the center of any section, that just turns out to be the quietest place because you're kind of removed. You're about as far away from any specific noise source as you can get.
Yeah, and if you don't like your seat, by the way, you can do that online thing. I've done that. You can do that before your flight and try to move.
That's right. And, you know, you actually have to be really careful because when you buy your ticket, you can pick out the best seat. It's your fantasy seat for that long trip.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't go back and check like a week before the flight or a couple of days before the flight, you can actually lose that great seat because if they change planes, the planes have different seat configurations, and you can go back and find out you now have the worst seat on the plane. So it actually makes sense to go back a few days or a week before the flight, confirm you still have the seat that you wanted. And if you're not happy with your seat, that's also a great time, right up until 24 hours before your flight, to keep checking back on the website. I know this sounds obsessive, but when you're sitting there and you're hating it, and you're crammed in between two people, you're going to wish you had done this. Up to 24 hours before, you can keep going to the website and picking better seats, better seats, better seats. You know, it ain't over till it's over. You want to get the best seat you can, especially on a longer flight.
Yeah, no kidding. You've got another good tip, and this is one that I've thought about doing before, but I have to say I've never done it. If you have the hassles of the luggage, I've had my luggage lost a couple of times in Philadelphia and in Miami. In Miami, it was just an absolute nightmare, and it took 2 days for them to get it to me. So I was in the same pair of shorts. Yeah, I had to wash my shorts over and over again. That's what happened. It was brutal. Take me to the store. I need some new shorts. So what else can you do? You have a great suggestion. What else can you do if you don't want to, you know, take your luggage and check it and all that stuff?
Well, this is so kind of obvious, and it seems so obsessive, but it really makes sense. Look, now when you fly, some airlines not only charge you to check your first bag. You don't even get a free bag now. Some airlines, like Spirit Airlines, even charges you to bring a carry-on bag on the plane. So you might as well just cram it all into a bag, and a couple days before you leave on your way to work or your way home, stop at a UPS store or a FedEx and just send it to yourself. It goes right to grandma's house or the hotel. You don't have to check it. You get to the airport, you're a lot more relaxed. You don't have to stand there watching the bags go around on the revolver. They can't lose it. You get a tracking number from FedEx or UPS, and you're done. Your bag shows up where you're going, and you don't mess with it at all. And if you really have a little bit more money to burn, there's actually companies that will come and pick your bag up from you. And then take it to the airport, ship it to where you're going, and then it'll show up where you're going. And in fact, FedEx and UPS will pick it up too. So it may cost a little more, but when you, especially with a family, you know, if everyone in the family packs a bag and then you pay to check it, you probably would actually save money by packing one big bag and shipping it to grandma's and just being done with it, and you don't have to hassle with it.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh boy, have you ever tried to take golf clubs anywhere? I did that once to Hawaii, and then this is the worst story, Greg. I felt so awful. It was a honeymoon situation. When I got back, of course you're exhausted, and then I go to retrieve the clubs, and some guy had the same exact bag as mine.
Oh,
we
no.
grabbed it, and when I got home, I realized I don't wear men's underwear, but that the whole thing was stuffed with men's underwear. And so I was like, this is my bag.
That reminds me of the old Steve Martin joke about, you know, why do you put your name on your skis? So the guy will know who he stole them from.
That's right, exactly. Hey, so I have to ask you this. What do you prefer? Do you prefer the naked X-ray deal, or would you rather be patted down when you go through by the TSA?
It's so funny. My wife, Jody, left for Thanksgiving a couple of days ago. I'm meeting her on Wednesday, and I asked her, I said, so what's it going to be, the naked X-ray or the pat-down? And we decided that actually they should turn this around and turn it into a positive. They should make this couples therapy. You know, couples should go together, and I pat her down, she pats me down, you know, and then we go hide in the lounge where they have little, you know, secret rooms for couples. I think I'm going for the X-ray because I look pretty good naked. And, I know, foreign hands on my body, especially from another man, is just has absolutely no appeal to me.
Boy, no kidding. Where are you going for Thanksgiving?
My in-laws live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, so that's traditionally where we spend the holiday.
Oh, what a rough time for you in Myrtle Beach in the warm
temperatures. Woe is me.
Do you,
yeah,
now,
speaking of golf.
Will you golf when you're down there?
I don't actually golf, but my wife's family does, so I'll probably caddy.
So that's brutal. So you're like Meet the Fockers. Are you driving around like you're just driving around like in the cart probably and taking everyone?
I put on a really ugly shirt, a really ugly hat, and, you know.
Oh.
I caddy.
Oh, but how fun. It's worth it once you get there and the relatives are there and you just chill and you haven't seen them and, you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. I'm so looking forward to Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. All right, Greg Stebbin, you know, Men's Health Magazine. How many people get it now? A gazillion? I think I was reading something.
And billions. We're the number one men's lifestyle magazine in the world. So
yeah, I saw that. Yeah, 40 editions.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, 40 editions is pretty good, I'd have to say. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, and good luck when you get through the TSA thing.
I hope you have a great holiday.
Thanks, and to everybody listening, too, as well.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are, too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now, for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE, and cross food off your to-do list.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org. And call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com, or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
America Tonight. Give us a call if you want to jump in on the TSA action. It's just so easy to beat a dead horse, though, isn't it? I mean, we're going to be talking about this for a long time, about the airport checks and whether or not they should be adjusted, and what is justification because of what's going on with the threat of terrorism, etc. It's like somebody said to me today at lunch. I was at a business lunch, and somebody said to me today, well, you know, look, here's the thing. We haven't heard of any, you know, there's nothing that's happened, right? So if nothing's happened, you have to assume that some things have been possible, attempts have been thwarted. And you got to pat somebody on the back for that. Something's going on, because you, and we know, we've been fed a few things that could have happened but did not happen. All right, I want to fill you in on a few other things, because coming up we're going to have that conversation, like I said, with Jeff Atticott. Before we get to that, though, scary moment with the F-16s. Imagine this. Picture this. You're on a plane, and then you look over to the right, or you look over to the left wing, and you see F-16s escorting you. What are you thinking? Don't shoot me down. So anyway, two F-16s briefly, were in the skies over Washington on Monday. What happened was a small plane violated that airspace restriction that they have over, you know, the Capitol buildings, the White House. It was really the White House where it happened. It was a portion of the White House grounds. They actually briefly let everyone out. They told everyone to go, a little evacuation after that happened. So the plane was one of those Cessna 182s. It was picked up by the F-16s. It happened late in the afternoon. And they just escorted, this is what they do, this happens every so often, they escorted to Manassas and, you know, it lands and that's it, and the Cessna pilot, it turns out, it's always this deal, and I don't get this. It was a student pilot who took off from Virginia, somewhere in Virginia, right? So the Secret Service is going to interview the pilot. They always, this is what always happens. So what's with the kid pilots or the beginner pilots going on these hamburger runs who end up having to be taken down by the F-16s? I mean, isn't there a manual somewhere that says you might want to not go into this airspace? This is restricted. We are in and near Washington after all. Like, not for nothing, like, we don't know what happened previously with planes, well, sadly, the plane in the Pentagon, but also, just in general, the whole violating the airspace deal. I mean, there are restricted areas in New York, there are restricted areas in around all the major cities, so give me a break on that. Also, too, there was a jet that skidded on a runway in Seattle. Apparently, a bunch of snow fell there, and I'm not laughing, I'm just, it was slick, and they knew it was slick, but there was a 747 cargo plane that was at SeaTac. Have you ever been to SeaTac? That's a crazy airport. Anyway, it happened on Monday afternoon. There was no injuries, that kind of thing, yada, yada. The plane was one of those long flight deals, though. If you've ever flown coast to coast, you know what I'm talking about. You just want to get off the plane. Let me out. Get me out of here. I'm like a rat just trapped with everybody else. And so the plane finally was, when it went down, it landed about 100 feet too far down the runway. At least that's the way it was described. So they had to tow it back across the line. Ever been towed in a plane? Yeah. You know, you're dying. Like I said, you're dying to get off the plane. Everybody jumps up when the plane lands because they're ready to just tackle each other like you're at one of those Who concerts from the late 70s. To just rush the door. Everyone wants to rush the door. You're not rushing the door when they're towing you. It takes a long time when they tow you. I've had that happen a couple of times. Actually, the last time it was at JFK, and I don't remember why, but they had to tow us in from the runway once we were at the tail end of the runway, and they had to pull us in that way. And boy, it probably took an extra maybe 20 minutes or so, maybe even actually a little bit longer than that. And since we're on this whole plane thing, there's a little theme going on here. This is another thing that I just don't get. The birds in the luggage. Okay, big money, right? But I'm just not thinking I'm getting into the business of carrying birds. So they have a woman who had a bunch of falcons in her luggage. And the idea was these are rare falcons. And it was at there was like eight of them. And it was at the Moscow airport where she was actually trying to get them in. They were trying to take the box birds out of the country. And they were gyra falcons. I never heard of those. Anyway, they were in these two cartons packed up. They were loaded into the hold of the plane. It was going to Syria. So there's your first clue. And she checked the cartons. Then they found out, oh, look, it sounds like I hear some birds. I hear some birds. You hear some birds in that luggage? So apparently, the dead giveaway was the squawk anyway. What the scoop is, though, on the birds, I later found out, you know, how much do you get for these birds on the open market? 50 grand a piece. 50 grand a piece. So that was the deal. I mean, this purely, it was just a smuggling situation. She was trying to get them through to get the money, but didn't have them wrapped up good enough or whatever it is. I don't know if you would think you would have to tape their beaks somehow, because how are they not going to be detected? And that's exactly what happened. Somehow they could hear the squawking. And so that was, like I said, a dead giveaway. We talked about what happened in Minnesota over the weekend, the terrible ice storms, and how you had 300 plus accidents. Even Matt came on and he was saying how he was out at a buddy's, I think it was engagement party, and it was awful because it was just a sheet of ice everywhere. So yeah, it was white knuckle time. And we were talking about, for all of you listening on Pal Talk and for all of you listening elsewise streaming and of course across the country on our great affiliates, I said about ranking storms. You know, what's the worst thing to drive in? Is it fog? Is it hailstorms? Is it rain? What is it? And I think without a doubt for most people it would be ice. But thunderstorms can be awful too. And apparently Wisconsin and parts of Illinois got slammed again with tornado touchdowns and damage and you know, everything that that entails. And the worst of the storm happened in the afternoon and it slammed into a small town, Caledonia, if you've ever heard of it, and basically knocked out power to all the people that were in that town. Power lines go down. You know what that's like when they try to get them up. And so winds are peeling off shingles one at a time, just ripping off the shingles. And it's kind of like knives when they go in the air. And then when the power lines go down, you know how brutal that can be. So here we go again with Mother Nature. As I always say, every time we jump on the air on America Tonight, is there not some disaster or something going on with Mother Nature rearing her ugly head somewhere to level somebody, whether it's tornadoes or ice storms or hailstorms or, you know, whatever that might be. Hey, speaking of hailstorms, and this is another thing that I've gotten a couple of emails from a bunch of you on, is now what happens in moving forward. In looking at 2012, I mean, here we go, the seg into politics, talk about tornadoes. What happens in 2012 with the Republicans? Who do they put up? You know, we keep hearing this stuff about Palin. I mean, you got to be kidding. Palin going up against Obama straight one-on-one. I mean, be serious about this. Put left, right, I don't care. Put all that crap aside. And for a second, just handicap this for me. Do you think that Obama loses, the current president loses to Palin in a matchup? I saw a poll earlier in the day on this, and I got to tell you, I would like the Obama odds in this case. No offense to Sarah Palin, who Barbara Bush dissed a couple of days ago and said, you know, nice lady needs to stay in Alaska, but there's just absolutely no way. And Sarah Palin making millions of dollars by giving speeches and raising money for people, why is she going to take on that role? That makes no sense to try to take on the role of candidate. And then the Republicans would have to pick her, would have to go for her anyway, and then you go through that whole political process. So here's the scoop. Because everybody is so curious about it, there was a poll done by what's the university? Can't think of it off the top of my head. I'll come up with it in a second. But anyway, you know, they pump out a lot of political information. So Obama would lead Sarah Palin by 8 points in a hypothetical 2012 general election matchup if that were to happen. 49% of the people questioned in the poll that was released on Monday said that the president doesn't deserve to be reelected. 43% say he does deserve a second term. And then there was a yada yada, a whole bunch of other possibilities and of whether or not he should be reelected and what the margin would be. The margin was like, it was Quinnipiac, one of the Quinnipiac polls. The Republicans would win by a 92-4 margin. Independents say a 51-35 margin. They don't think that Obama deserves to be reelected. This is some statistical nonsense, you know, in trying to manipulate that, try to figure that out. So 51-35% independents. So you're that independent. And that, you mean to tell me that many independents are ditching the Democrats? Traditionally, that's not what they do. Traditionally, the independents go for the Democrats, but that's not what would happen according to this poll. So it's just interesting because people are trying to get their arms around 2012 already. Let's face it, we're swinging into 2011, like it or not, you know, kicking and screaming, we're headed there. But now it's a question of who's running. I mean, throw it all up in the air at this point. David Axelrod's leaving the White House. He's going to help Obama there. And as for the Republicans, the Sarah Palin thing is just too intriguing, I think, to too many people. So her name, it just constantly gets regurgitated, comes up again and again and again and again as to will she run, could she beat him, you know, all that sort of stuff. But in the end, I don't think that Sarah Palin herself really wants that gig. What do you think? You can send me an email at americatonight.net. Coming up on the flip side, I keep talking about him, Jeff Atticott. He's in our virtual green room. We're going to chat with him next here on The Big Show.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
So have you been groped, or have you gone through and done the scanning thing to not really see what your x-ray is, but hope that it doesn't somehow leak out, because that's actually happened to a few people. And you know, we've been talking about this a lot on America Tonight, and I'm traveling again, and I'll report back what my experience was like. So far, so good. I didn't have that problem when I was going from Dallas-Fort Worth to Mississippi to Gulfport, but it was a much smaller airport, and there might have been some of that going on around me, but that didn't happen to me. Who better to have on this program than our pal Jeff Atticott? Of course, he is a terrorism expert, and we always like to get his take on things. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing really good.
Let's talk about the screening thing. First of all, you travel a lot. Have you had to get the enhanced pat down at all in any of your travels at this point?
Yeah, I've had everything. I've been wand and patted down and screened and x-rayed and everything else. So, you know, boots off and socks off. And I suppose if you do engage in a lot of travel, it's just the law of averages, but it's getting ridiculous with this backscatter technology. I mean, today I saw some elderly, you know, women that were just, I mean, you looked at it and you go, wow. I mean, they were, I would be arrested if I even attempted to do anything like that in a public place. And, you know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. If you look at subway systems, for example, or trains or ships, a terrorist could target one of those, kill far more many people, and there's simply no security on those transportation vehicles whatsoever. And then we're told that 40% of the cargo in some of these passenger jets, they're not checked at all. So we're concentrating. We're doing things that ought not to be done, it's not the smartest way we should do things. We're really upsetting the American people. And when people say that the terrorists have won, in a way they have, because we're overreacting. And there's no need that we don't need to do that. We can do it much better, much smarter. We need to take those resources. As I've said many times, we need to stop them before they get to the airport, not try to worry about finding ways to, you know, concentrate on getting them at the airport, because they can get through our security devices. The best way to spend that money is to find out who they are, where they are before they get to the airport, break them up there.
How would you suggest that? What would you do? If you were the point man on this, what would you do in stopping them before they get to the airport? Would visas be included in this, like the expiration of the student visas where we don't know where half of them are when they expire? Would that be part of that package?
Yeah, the first thing we need to do is to get a national identity card that has biometric information that can't be faked. Now, I realize people on the left and the right and the civil libertarians, they all scream and yell and say that the government's going to know everything about us. I've got news for all of you, or as we say in Alabama, all y'all. If you're paying your taxes, the government already knows everything about you. It's only those that are here illegally that operate in the shadows that benefit from this privacy that no longer really exists in the modern world. So if you had a biometric national identity card, which every major nation in Western Europe has, you'd be able to find out who is in our country and better control who has access to what in this country. And again, it would affect the people that operate in the shadows. Because as I said, if you pay your taxes, they know about you. And plus in the modern world, if you go to Amazon and you bought a book 10 years ago, they can tell you, hey, here's five other books you might want to look at, and your mother's birthday is coming up next week. So, you know, the buffalo are not coming back. Technology has made the world a lot smaller, and we're going to have to get this national identity card to secure the borders, to find out who's here, and to assist us in engaging in behavioral profiling.
When we look at other countries, when we look at Europe and other countries in general and their safety procedures, everybody always points to Israel. Who do you think has the best systems in place around the whole world that you would emulate the most?
Well, the Israelis and the Colombians. If you've been to Colombia, they have like five different checkpoints you go through. They check every bag by hand. They divide the males and the females. They have National Guard police that frisk everybody. They don't do the intrusive pat-downs, but they frisk everybody. They have a very intensive security modus operandi. But I think the Israelis have to top them, because what they do is they take their limited resources and they do behavioral profiling. So if you buy your ticket way in advance, they know who you are. They've done a check on that person. But if someone comes in and buys the ticket at the last minute, or they're buying a one-way ticket, or they come from certain countries, those people get additional scrutiny. They question each and every person. They spend a couple of minutes looking you in the eyeball, and then that will provide them another layer of security. But they don't have the backscatter technology. They don't have the intrusiveness that we have here in this country. Many people will tell you that, well, the Israelis only have 40 flights a day. We can't do it here. You know, I'm tired of hearing this. We can't do it here. Yes, we can do it here. We can do a much better job, and the first step would be to get a national identity card, which would dry up the borders. It would solve the illegal alien problem almost overnight, because these people can't operate in the shadows anymore.
Yeah, and now we know, and you know that certainly in what you've dealt with, that everything operates around political motivations. So we're going to have a big switch coming up in January. What do you think happens, and I'm switching gears a little bit on you, but what do you think happens with the situation with the people who operate in the shadows and the problem of illegal aliens in this country now that we're going to see the House flip back to the Republicans and more Senate seats picked up by the Republicans? Do you think that this issue is still going to be put on the shelf because it's too much of a hot potato, or do you think finally it's going to get dealt with head on?
No, I think it's a hot potato. We're not going to do anything until we have another 9/11 type event. You can trace it to somebody coming in this country illegally across one of our borders, and that will be the fire that gets things going. Unfortunately, it's going to take some political guts, because if you say we need a national identity card, you're going to get branded as a, you know, fill in the blank by the left, by the right, by the civil libertarian, because it's a hot button issue. But again, in reality, I was in the military for 20 years. You know, yeah, they know everything about me. But if you're a taxpayer, the government already knows everything about you. All of us have gotten these little letters from the IRS. Hey, you're off $2 in your taxes. We, you know, we want you to pay that money up. It's here. It's only the folks that don't abide by the law that that are able to use our system against us. The rest of us that are law-abiding taxpayers, we've got to be lined up with the rest of these people and subject ourselves to these absurd violations of our privacy. You want to talk about violation of privacy? Well, that's what is occurring to the law-abiding citizens, and we ought not do that. It should be the people that are most likely to engage in terrorism. We have indicators that we can use, and we have ways that we can do a much better job. But right now, we're trying, you know, not to spook the herd with these ridiculous, intrusive techniques, when in fact, the herd is spooked now.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I'm jumping around here for a second, but a lot has been talked about lately, Afghanistan. Oh, pullout date, maybe 2014. That's what Hamid Karzai is saying now and his talks with the Taliban about peace and whatnot. And, of course, he ruffled a bunch of feathers when he was quoted in the Washington Post with dates and saying that he was disappointed in really the Americans, I'll call it, performance in this war. What do you say to that? I think that the action is really Pakistan anyway, and of course Iran and, you know, even further beyond those borders. But what do you think, and you're a guy who was in the military, like you said, what do you do with Afghanistan? If you're Gates and the rest of that crowd, what do you do? If you're Petraeus, what ultimately has to happen here in Afghanistan?
I mean, it's real simple. Every soldier I've talked to has come back from Afghanistan. I've got a lot of buddies over there. Some of the people I've talked to have come back missing limbs. They all agree that we're not winning. No matter how much this administration wants to spin it, we're not winning. We are taking and holding ground. We're holding the status quo, but one, the president can't define victory, so therefore we can't win. If I was Petraeus, I would resign. I would say this is a ridiculous strategy to take and hold ground. You go, you know, you announce to the world that we're going to leave in 2012. Oh, now it's going to be 2014. What day is it today? There's no clear, coherent strategy from this administration to define victory or to achieve victory. The CIA just released a report this year. They said, look, there's probably only 60 to 100 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, boss. The wars against Al-Qaeda, as you told us on January the 7th, finally, which it is against Al-Qaeda, they're not in Pakistan. Nobody believes, left or right, that the second that we leave, that the Taliban will not come back roaring back like a lion. I haven't heard anybody say that, yes, when we're out of there, they're going to, you know, it's going to continue. So we're losing American lives, and now we're getting the same spin we got during Vietnam, the body count stuff. The administration is starting to give us body counts. So when we killed 12 Taliban today, we killed 10 yesterday, we killed 15. That tells me we are in deep, deep trouble. We got to rely on this this maneuver to make people think that we're doing something. When in reality, we're not doing anything. The Karzai government is playing us like an old violin. They're playing both sides against the middle. It's an unwinnable situation under this current strategy. It cannot be won.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Jeff, thanks so much, as always, terrorism expert, for joining us on America Tonight.